Hello and welcome to the Green Room Golf Course podcast from the British and International Golf Greenkeepers Association. Thanks for listening to this podcast, which sheds a light upon the golf industry and what it takes to maintain a modern course. I hope you enjoy the show. Welcome to this week's edition of the podcast, where, as it's the build-up to Halloween, myself and Biggers Membership Services Manager for the Northern Region, Sandra Raper, took a drive up onto Saddleworth Moor to visit the greenkeeping team in this infamous corner of the Peak District. They're a great bunch of guys, and it was really interesting to sit and find out about the ways they manage their course. Funnily enough, though, it was actually more interesting to learn about the team themselves. Which of them has considered bumping off his parents for their inheritance, and which one recently sold antique dolls on an episode of Dickinson's Real Deal? What's clearer about the team at Saddleworth is that they're a team that gets on really well, and when your course is relatively isolated, that can mean the world. So, David Roberts is course manager, and he was joined on the podcast by greenkeepers Peter Buckley, Chris Hyde, and Jake Standen. I hope you enjoy the show.
So what developments other than your woodland tree management stuff that you're going to be doing? What have you been doing over the past few years, and what's your plan going forward?
Well, we were looking to get a course architect to come in, and one of our problems we've got is, because we're on a hill, everything's cut into the hill. Greens, there's a lot of greens cut into the hill, so all the runoff just ends up on the greens. So we're looking at structures, we've got swales and stuff to try and take the water away, yeah. But I'm not sure it's gonna happen now. Doing a lot of tee extensions at the end of this year,
yeah.
Because we've seen a lot more playing now, whether it's visiting parties. So we've got quite small tees because they all have to be built up.
Have you noticed here more than most probably the nomadic golfer syndrome, selling tees and things? You said that you don't really have full members anymore.
Yeah. But that's, I think up here it's something we should be catering for more. I think that's something we need to look at more.
Is it a holiday destination up here as well?
No, that's the thing we don't have around here, hotels. This area, Upper Mill, Saddleworth, is massive for people coming in from miles around. We had the beer walk last week, we had the biggest band contest in the world on Friday that everyone goes walking. It's called Whit Friday, everyone walks around. But there's no hotel, so people have to come here and go. So if there was more hotels, you'd get a lot more nomadic golfers. But I think that one of the things the club might be looking at is putting chalets in on some of the land.
Okay.
But I think that's a few years. That's if it picks,
like the
membership's got to pick up before they can afford to do that.
Yeah. And where's that going to come from?
I don't know, yeah. That's up to the committee. I'll just look after the course.
You're talking about the tees. Is basically this entire place on the side of that hill?
Yeah, it goes round. We go even higher. I mean, if you want to drive around it a bit, we'll drive around.
It stops raining
for now. Yeah,
you're lucky.
It's supposed to. This is probably the lowest point, and then it just all heads up and down. But it's not that hilly because they're all cut in. What that
means
is that everything has to be cut in, and then you've got some massive slopes. So it's a lot, quite intensively managed here with flying on stuff.
How does that work with machines and everything?
Well, that's it.
That's where the flymo's come in. I mean, you can't see this, but yeah, that's got a massive banking. There's some big bankings, like say, for trying to use surround mowers on fly, it's just impossible. So it's just a lot of flymo and a lot of streaming.
Yeah. Jeepers.
We
need manual hands-on.
Yeah,
definitely up here more than... Because it's like traditional parkland, you're just on tractors and...
Yeah.
Not up here, no. It's a lot of streaming, a lot of areas you can't get in, a lot of bog areas.
They're not too bad, are we?
After last year it's dried out, hell of a lot.
And I imagine you've got to, you know, if you're driving, you've got to drive straight, drive your ball straight, because you don't want to be down that hill and you don't want to...
There's a couple of holes in there.
And there's some blind holes where if you haven't played here before, you won't know. Like the third, it just goes straight up. And it just looks like it flattens out, but it all just goes straight down like that, and everyone just finds themselves down by
no matter what shot you play,
no matter what
or
shot
where it lands, it ends up in the same place. Everyone ends up in the same place.
It's
But you've got some fantastic areas for wildlife,
haven't
you? Do you do
all
the environmental?
We have had the environmental award, haven't we?
Yeah, we had the environmental award. Well, that's 80 years
ago. 2007.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, we try as much as we can. We put in, when we do take, you know, trees down, put log piles in. Got a nice little wetland area we use. Got loads of newts and stuff like that. Get
bees.
Roe deer. Got beehives.
Who does the bees?
Just a local guy, and in fact, about 3 weeks ago,
they
decided to split, and 40,000 bees decided to go across the 6 green, and they were.
They were
hung up in a little tree.
Yeah, they're colonising. Well,
swarmed, don't they?
Yeah.
It was, little man turns up with a new hive from settling. Did you get them, or did they go?
He came up and got them.
Yeah,
because they were literally 10 foot behind the green, so we couldn't leave them.
See them quite a lot, don't you?
What?
On the golf courses, we see them swarm quite a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
To
that Wentworth.
Yeah, that's the year I was there.
Was it?
Down, yeah.
Oh, Tony went and got it, yeah.
Because they're quite harmless. They were just floating around and they never went on you, never bothered you.
Just off one of the greens, but.
I bet the members loved it. Oh, yeah.
Well, the members don't know we've got the hives because of that reason.
Don't tell them.
I don't mind.
Absolutely fine.
They know now.
Yeah, they didn't seem bothered, did they?
And look at that's just off the which green?
10th green.
10th green, and it, you know, it's lush, it's quite wild. So I imagine you do get quite a lot. How big?
Deer running through. I saw one yesterday.
Roe deer.
Cool. How big, what sort of area of land are you on?
That's a good point.
I can't remember what it is.
I can't remember.
It's quite a short.
It's not the longest. We're at 6,200 yards. I think we're at.
It's
going to
be up and down,
isn't it? I was
going to
say, I bet it's tiring.
Oh,
it's a tiring walk.
Yeah. I mean, we've only had buggies here for the last 5 years. Golf buggies. No, I mean, today, it probably should have been banned today with the rain, but they just go out anyway. Right, I'll let them sign the waiver and off they go.
Yeah.
But it
doesn't work like that, unfortunately.
No, in winter we do ban them because it's horrible up here in winter. It gets bad up here.
They still go out and play though?
Yeah.
They go out and play.
Guys.
They'll be aquaplaning in a buggy all the way around. Especially, the third, and it just slows down.
Yeah.
You go on the wrong beat, you can't get off the path, can't get on the fairway or anything.
Don't go play the shot and find the buggies, just...
Yeah.
I see videos on all the time on Facebook of people in ponds and stuff like that. Someone must have been doing something stupid there.
I was watching someone the other day. Yeah, just driving around as fast as they can. But yeah, we're not to pull any out of the ponds or anything like that.
No.
What soil are you on? Because you're on the side of a hill. And you know, what's your subsoil to keep watering?
What we've got is quarries all around here, so it's quite sandy. What is it, millstone? Millstone grit? So it's quite sandy when you get down, but it's hell of a peat. Got a nice peat layer on top.
From the moor? From when it was moor, right?
Yeah, from when it was moor, and then we've got sand underneath. So you'd think it quite free draining, but the peat just holds it. Yeah.
Right.
And then.
But is the peat, does it hold nutrients, or is it like a massive layer of thatch and it's a nightmare?
It's pretty much a big layer of thatch.
Yeah.
It's a nightmare. I mean, you used to scarify them a lot, didn't we? But. I've done that for a while because the budget went down. They're full of fescues, the fairways. Mm. She should be up here. You'd think not with it being so much thatch, but it seems to book the trend and we get quite a lot of fescues on the fairways. The weird thing up here is getting stuff to grow seed. It seems to grow for one day a month.
Most of the course around here, you'll get growing season from March till October, where we're kind of end of April to early kind of.
That's
early
cheap round temple page.
So we're just tired, but.
And this hill seems to get a lot of rain.
Yeah.
That we're on.
Yeah. I haven't really noticed.
But you go up the six, and you kind of cut across the seventh and go up top then, at the very top of the course, and it's two different worlds coming from the sixth and seventh, isn't it? So later on, it really does go moorland course and.
Yeah,
it's definitely higher in the winter. You'll get snow up on the top section of course for weeks after it's gone here.
Yeah.
So can you, are there times when you close maybe half the course?
Yeah,
the six don't get much sun. So if it snows, and that's our adjoining, so you've got the six and then go around the top.
Yeah.
So if that's frozen or whatever, you can't, just can't get up there. So no chance. So it's like straight to five, then 13 rounds.
That's so cool, isn't it?
So we've been quite lucky that that works quite well, to be honest.
Basically, it's part of it, aren't we? Yeah. What are your greens made? Like, what's the construction? The push-ups.
Push-ups. But we've got quite a good sand structure now on there. So they're quite... What we do, we put in trains about, 15 years ago now?
No.
When I started 10 years ago, you were putting them on the greens.
Years, so.
It was 12 years then.
When we first started, we first started putting them in on fairies, didn't we? And then we started putting them in greens. So it's in like last 10 years, up to last 9 years probably. Eight, 9 years.
When I started, you were putting them in on the greens, and you'd already done half the greens, so it probably was about 12 years.
Yeah, that's when we started, that's when we finished, probably eight, seven, 8 years ago.
So we put them in, and that dried them out, but they were still quite... So we've done a lot of work over the last 6 or 7 years, repeatedly top dressing, with just straight sand, working that in.
Do you get the sand locally, or is it...
No, we get that. That's Chelford 28 we put on.
Okay.
Yeah. So we've done that, and they seem to be getting quite dry at the minute, but that's because we had last summer, didn't we? But I think the thing is, because we have the short season and we have the weather, you've really got to be on the ball when you can get your work, your maintenance work in. You've got to adapt, and we'll come in on a Monday and it's like, right, let's get this on quick, get out.
So you can actually be feeling the benefit from a little bit from last year, because where your peat level's dried out, as it rains now, that's really absorbing it and taking it. So you're probably draining better than you normally would expect it to. Because of that dry summer, so it's that impact where for a lot of people it's a negative. It's maybe working in your favour.
I mean, we were taking samples out last year and it was just dust. Everywhere was dust. So it's just re-wetting itself now, which has come with its own problems, because we've seen on the greens definite increase of disease.
Yeah.
Weeds this year have been rife, just because we lost grass coverage and then they're quick to colonise it.
Yeah.
Weeds have been...
You had a lot of moss.
First to come back out.
Yeah, we always get moss up here because it's just... Yeah, because we've got that thatch layer. They stay wet throughout the year, especially in winter. You just we call it winter moss, though. As soon as April comes, it pretty much goes. And you're back to your fescues, battle it back, and then it'll go, and you're like, oh, my God, we've got no grass on again. But we use vet mats on here now, so...
Okay.
Yeah, well, they're still on mats.
Like, do you bring them in at a set date and you're using them, or...?
We used to, but it goes by ear now. It's just...
Okay.
Because I think we left them on much later, because that winter we had last year was brilliant, weren't it? It was so dry. Because we overseeded with bent on the greens, and we thought we had nothing, no strike or anything. And then as the winter went through, it was jumping out of the ground. We were getting growth all the way through winter, really. It was fantastic. And early season, but then we've had just 2 weeks of rain now and it's getting a bit miserable. But the greens, we used to be on Aitkins a lot. They did good work because we, like I said, we were soft, spongy. They really worked with us and firmed up the greens, using a lot of calciums and stuff to bind all the fines together, get the percolation up. So they worked really well. And then we got to a stage where we wanted better grass coverage, and whatever they give us weren't really working for us, so we've gone with Consolidate now. We have John coming around, and he's a great guy to...
He
used to be at Stamford, which is the next one.
He's a good support,
and he was always known for his green, so he's come on, and he's up here every week. He was like here more than the young lad, to be honest. He's always here.
Is it John and Gary you have here?
Just John.
So what's he doing? Just talk us through what he's doing.
He's just giving us advice of... Because we never used Consolidate before.
Yeah.
He always trialled it at Stamford. So he just we're pretty much the same... They're a bit lower than us, but we're pretty much the same kind of greens and stuff, same sward composition, so and soil. So we just wanted to know what he found, and he's come in, he's gone from more sales, but he's at ITS now, isn't he?
Yeah.
So he's just come in and give us advice how to use it. We trialled it over the winter and had great results with it. through the winter. So we've gone for a full trial this.
Just explain for me what it does.
Consolidate. Well, that's a good point. Well, there's a range of products they give, but it's more of a foliar application than right. We were using granulars before. Now we've gone to foliar because we believe it gives us. It just gives us a bit better
control.
Yeah, that when we know we've got a good weather, we can get out and put it on. We know that nutrient's going to be in the grass plant. Mm. Whereas we put a granular on here and then it'd hammer it down, and you're just wondering how much is going to wash through.
Yeah.
So it just gives us that better control, and it's more of a. There's a different kind of nitrogen, so that it's not asking the grass plant to grow, it's asking it to till more. So we were looking for thicker greens here because we got a bit of thinning out during the summer. So we wanted a thicker greens, and that's what we've seen so far with that product, to be honest. Yeah.
Okay.
It's working really well. But,
makes sense. Yeah, it makes sense. What else do we need to know about the cars that we don't know? What makes this spot special?
The views, really. Where it is, I mean, that's our selling point, selling point, the views up here.
Which way are we facing? What's that way?
That's east.
Yeah.
That's an east.
Yeah. Sun comes up over that far on the side of the valley.
Spectacular mornings then.
Yeah.
It comes up over the Pots and Pans, which is the war.
Pots and Pans?
Yeah, that's the war memorial on the hills over there. So they put that up so it can be seen by all the villages around.
Why is it called Pots and Pans?
Because all the stones up there look like pots and pans, supposedly.
Okay.
I don't know.
It's a bit handles.
It's a bit weird one, but yeah, it's like big pans, and you get up there and you can walk all over, and it's a bit nuts. What do you need to know? Well, I don't know.
Sections.
I think that's one of the main things is how we run it is me and Pete do most of the cutting, and then three lads have sections. They have six holes each where they look after everything on that section, all the fly mowing, bunkers, everything, strimming. So they get to take pride in their own section. They run it how they... We have a list of
Does
things...
Does it get competitive?
Oh, yeah. We have a list of jobs that need doing in the week, but they're free to manage it how they want. As long as everything gets done, it's fine. There's little input from us, really, unless...
It's been a lot of progression as well, you know.
Yeah, ever since we started, members every year you'd always get it's never looked this good. It's always looking the best
really?
It is, and
you're pushing it.
It just gives you
so because you've got that responsibility.
Yeah, it just gives you a lot more time on each section as well. Instead of
thinking, change six holes. the jobs that you hate doing, you only got to do six times rather than 18 times. So.
You
more pride into it, then you put a lot more time into it.
How does that work with kit though and everything? If you all decide,
we've all got buggy to go around on, and all got the oil changing kit and all that lot. So, like I say, you're never waiting to use.
But if not, last couple of years when we've been struggling from machinery and stuff,
we still get around. Yeah,
it's, you just one person does one job one day, and the next person does.
Yeah.
And
so who came up with that idea?
That was Darryl, the old head greenkeeper.
It was something he wanted to do for years. He said he just didn't have the equipment,
but
once he started getting it all, he was implemented it about 8 years ago now.
Toss of the coin, you have which section? Who's got the hardest section? Would you say?
Probably me to start off.
And then, then yours is second hardest, is it? And then your Chris's is easy.
It's the easiest to maintain.
He struggles.
Like my section is the top section, the lowland section.
Yeah.
And just because we have the time to do it, everything's got taken down, trimmed, and
you can spend more time on the section, you can do the extra stuff that you drive past.
I can't, where you've got teams that look after one car and another team looks after another. I can't think where I've heard that before.
No, I don't.
Someone has said that before. I think it was the Chris.
Have you come across it before?
And I think that's our greatest asset, really, is the lads, because they've been here that long. They know the course, they know their sections.
It's unique.
So standards keep getting raised every year because they're fighting against each other who wants the best section.
Yeah.
And then we'll just add little things on.
It's good. And actually, it just gives you much more time. You can go out and just do stuff that you drive past and think that needs doing that. But when you're doing a 418, you just never get time to come back and do it.
What happens
when
one of
you's
off?
Well, we'll
jump in. Usually.
We'll cover. But it's great the communication between the lads as well, because obviously if you've got three sections, you can kind of, one will rake bunkers one day. We used to, I think when we started, we'd do that. One would rake it one day. So now they communicate with themselves, right, we're raking bunkers today, Tuesday comp day, we're doing this. So that's another good thing.
So you've
thing
got that continuity
brought,
when
right?
you
yeah,
go, so
yeah.
it doesn't look like three separate
yeah,
areas.
Exactly. That's something that, I think we've really worked on in the last,
yeah.
last
well,
couple
I said,
of
did,
years
did,
as well.
It used to be, 10 years ago, like I said, it'd be a different car. You'd go up to the six hole and come through. And it was just like unkept.
Yeah,
it wasn't looked well afterwards.
It looked
wild,
section.
You know, the top part of the car. Because it was just...
It's too lot of work.
Yeah. Hmm. Now it does it all does all flow in all the car. So,
are you up there? You're doing the top mile, and do you on a morning you vanish up there, and then they don't see you till finish?
Sometimes.
certainly when first started doing the section, they were like that.
Yeah. We have a brew at 10, so everyone comes back in and has a chat. We watch Frasier every morning. We've seen every episode of Frasier 100 times, and we still laugh.
It's
the greatest show.
I love it.
Yeah, decent. So, and then in that time, you can make sure everyone's alive still, which is a good thing.
Yeah.
You can have a chat what other lads are doing today and stuff like that. It's good.
Building on the incredible success of BTME 2019, Europe's largest turf management exhibition returns to the Harrogate Convention Centre from Tuesday the 21st to Thursday the 23rd of January 2020. BTME will feature more than 150 exhibiting companies spread across four zones at the Harrogate Convention Centre. Alongside the exhibitors will be the Green Room Podcast Live, hosted by former Ryder Cup superintendent Curtis Turrell, a sustainability zone in association with the Golf Environment Organisation, and the STRI group will be showcasing science in action in a live turf laboratory. There'll also be the return of Golf Course Construction Live and the new products area. After the first day of the exhibition, all visitors are invited to join the bigger welcome celebration hosted by Naga Munchetti. It'll be taking place in the main auditorium, and this event features two drinks receptions and will celebrate all the finest achievements and milestones from bigger members throughout this year. We're kicking off the second day of BTME in style with the free-to-attend BTME Breakfast Club taking a look at cock-ups, disasters and calamities out on the course. For any morning person out there, the BTME Early Bird 5K Run, sponsored by Syngenta, will help to raise awareness of mental health. As always, Continue to Learn will kick off the week with the education programme evolving to better suit the needs of bigger members. Taking place from Sunday the 29th to Wednesday the 22nd of January, the Association's Learning and Development Team has put together its largest ever package of education. Continue to Learn features more than 250 hours of education delivered by over 90 speakers. The Golf Course Architecture and Management Forum will showcase collaborations between architects, golf managers and their greenkeeping teams at some of the biggest projects in golf, including Royal Portrush, Royal Dornoch and the JCB Golf and Country Club. Regular favourites such as the Turf Managers Conference, the Deputies Conference and the Young Greenkeepers Conference will also return. Head to the bigger website to find out more about BTME 2020 and register for your place at Continue to Learn. We hope to see you there.
But I imagine as well that even though they've got the different sections, you're still setting sort of cutting heights. That's why
yes.
they can't be off on their own doing
thing. I mean, if they want to do something, they'll run it by me first, say, I fancy doing this, do you want to have a come and have a look? I'll go and have a look with them and say, yeah, that works with the old course or not. But we kind of have a list of the things you need to do that week. So we've got a core jobs
so you know
to do, and
core jobs,
if
yeah.
they finish them, then they're free to touch up things up.
Fancy
like
stripes,
fancy
shirts. Oh.
Yeah, the young lads working at Boundary Park as well, volunteering.
Yeah.
All right, okay.
And he's coming in, oh, can we do this cut? And I'm like, God, all right. Because we don't really go in for striping up much because
it would look weird up here.
We just want the views to take over. People look up here more than they look down.
Yeah.
So. We do half and half in the look.
We keep it simple.
Well, nice straight lines.
That's been a massive improvement actually on fairways doing half and half.
Yeah.
We've had so much ribbing
yeah.
and undulation caused by years and years of striking them up.
I find it weird when you go to a competition course. So if we went to British Masters at Close House and on TV and they're all diagonaled up and all this kind of thing, Close House never cut like that. 50-50. Mm. So it was only for that competition that they did that. It was just weird seeing it.
A massive difference. Mm. The undulation and the ribbon, aren't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the time as well.
Some of the
time
you brought in that, aren't
you? Yeah. So is that the ribbon that's like going down the fairway from tee to green? It's like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Just because
it's at the same, done the same,
same lines,
cut the
years.
Same way, the same direction in the same section over years and
for years.
Yeah.
So we'll halfway through the season or a couple of months, we'll change the blocks over so we're not getting that ribbon. Just change it up. Same with tees as well. We just do them nice blocks now.
Yeah. No, I wonder if it's more pronounced here that. Ribbon because you're on the peak,
is
that right? Because maybe it's a bit softer below the ground.
There's a lot of land movement as well, still, because you don't notice it over time, but then you'll see it's just like, whee, on the fairway, or at some point, especially on the sixth.
It's definitely shifting the sands or something underneath.
Yeah,
in the bottom of
it seems to get bumpier, this course, the way you drive around it, longer you're in it.
But that's another good thing for the course, because you never get here because we're not long. You need different things to challenge a golfer. You never ever get a flat lie here. The ball's below your feet or it's above your feet. It's very hard.
Yeah, it's not an easy course to play.
I'm not playing here. I struggle on a flat lie, everything's like that. I'm slicing it away.
Hills, we'd have lost all our golf balls.
You definitely have to know.
You'll definitely lose it on the third.
Where to
wait on it, yeah. Oh, yeah, it's definitely
so your golf is accurate?
No, far from it. They just know where to go looking for it when they have it.
Yeah. Two sets of clubs, one that's like that much longer than the other one.
Just two fairways.
Our golfers, the committee really have backed me since we've come in. I asked for wages for the lads, which we got. A few new machines that we needed, like a new Verti drain. Couple of utility vehicles that we were down on, so the lads really couldn't do the section as well as they could, so they bought them.
And that's why you stay, because you feel supported.
Yeah, it is good. I mean, we've had our hard times, like I say, since the financial crisis. It did drop a bit, and it felt like quite a bad place to work at some point, didn't it? Especially when we had one chairman of Greens, but we won't go into that. But everyone stayed, and it's just really good. You just know everyone, and I think what we need to start doing now is getting to know the members more. I think that's the communication. We started a Twitter account for the young guys. I do an email that goes out to everyone every month. Write things on the board.
That's interesting, actually, because I see a lot of Twitter accounts from Greenkeepers. Some guys write blogs. Some guy's email, but how do you communicate with the older generation? You know, you said you've got an older membership. How do you communicate with them?
So I'll do a monthly email. Hopefully that'll be emailed. If not, we've got a notice board that we'll put the email up on so they can read it. And we've got a board in there. We used to have a board with all our names on and our pictures on it, and tell them. We'd write a piece each month telling them what we'd done in that month on our section or what we were planning to do.
Yeah.
So they can just come in and have a look, but
have you seen
you can
have something like that with like the wildlife book where they put pictures in of wildlife
that
they've seen and noted down and dates and things?
Oh, I think we used to have that on our email, on the website. No one sees anything. They only see is pheasants. Pheasants. Eating all the seeds.
Trying to get a picture of the deer.
No, yeah, I don't think anyone's ever been able to get a picture of a deer. They're always gone before by the time you get your phone out. Oh, it's an awful quality.
It's
down. Probably more deer and pheasant up here. Gotta be.
No.
We get some like hawks, don't we, and things like that.
Any
kites for you?
Not yet, no. We're more
kestrels
and
we get the odd we get the geese and ducks.
Yeah.
Coming over. Canadian geese coming over.
Yeah, there's always two of them. Must be the same two every year.
And we get heron.
Always land in the 15th pond.
See the nettle.
Foxes. They all died
of Nixie. They'd never come back.
We've had them since I've been here. We had them twice. When I first started, we had a lot, and then they all died off.
Loads at one point.
That's good.
About 10 years.
Can I ask a question? Saddle with Mo. Can I ask a question?
Dead bodies.
Wow. Wow.
Oh.
Is that
that
really
green's
what the story is known about?
That's
all
it's
known
about.
That's what it's known for.
That's so sad, isn't it?
Well, it's...
That and the Dam Busters were filmed here or trained here.
Yeah, they were. Down the valley.
Yeah.
At least we're known for something.
You're on the map.
Well, it used to be. It used to be IST'd in it for.
Apparently, it's one of
the IST's. Not verified.
Well, you've got to be, because if you think M62. I don't know. There's one up on there called Outlane on the M62 as you're going out it. It must be miles higher than us. But they will be.
I think it is.
Because that's right next to Outlane, the village, and the golf club is right next to the M62. But it's just outside Huddersfield, so you're still going up. So I wouldn't say it's on highest point of M62. It's a few miles back.
It's next to that point that says this is the highest motorway in the world.
Yeah. Outlane, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's not back towards Huddersfield.
It's not far. In fact, you have to go up.
Oh, this could be a... We need to find out.
Highest motorway, you go up. And then you'd go down a tiny bit, but it's on right hand side there on hill.
Yeah.
So it must be that bit.
It's just about to turn off for you.
Yeah.
There, isn't it? As we had turned off.
Not far.
Just there. A bit further on.
Where is it now?
I don't know.
When do you get to Art
Said More? See, we're describing it opposite way around.
Yeah.
Yorkshire. Which way are you coming from?
Yorkshire.
You're coming from Yorkshire. Badlands, okay. So when you... if you come from Art Said More, go past there, you go down the dip, and then it's on the left-hand side before you get to...
So you're Lancashire then, here?
I don't know, to be honest.
Cheshire.
I think we called Pete from Yorkshire when he first arrived. He wasn't happy.
Are you Yorkshire or Lancashire? Are you Yorkshire or Lancashire?
I don't know if we're greater Manchester.
I've seen it.
Who knows?
I think this area gets both, because I've seen
City
addresses
United.
Before with
Leeds. We have Paul Scholes up here.
He scores in players a lot quite a bit.
Give for gambling tips.
Yeah. Son's a nutter as well.
Drives like a maniac in the buggy.
He lives down road.
He lives just up in Grasscroft, just up there. So he comes and plays. I think he's a member somewhere else, but he plays quite a lot,
yeah. Yeah, I've seen quite a lot on.
That's decent.
Yeah. Who else famous do we have?
Dickinson's real deal all the month, mate.
Oh, yeah,
I'll be on telly next.
You've got our own famous person, Pete, yeah.
Selling summer.
We had the world champion Whistler.
Whistler, that was
That's
it.
That's when we first started.
What?
World champion Whistler.
What are you doing on Dickinson's real deal?
Selling something.
Selling some dolls. Puppets.
Dolls.
Yeah, dolls. Some dolls.
Palom puppets.
Have
you ever heard of them? They're on string.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No one.
Yeah. Yes.
They were on
the
Antiques Roadshow. Somebody had a collection of them.
But they were worth more than Pete's.
How much did they sell them for?
You
They had. She had a big collection, and some were not in such good condition, but others were in good condition. And they ranged anything from £50 up to £800.
Oh, yes. All right, but
how much did you sell yours for?
Yeah,
each one?
David. I'm talking to David, David Dickinson.
As you do.
As you do.
Hi, David.
And he said, you got auction with me, you'll get £200. She offered me over the £60, so...
She offered you £100 first, didn't she?
Yeah.
And what did it go for at auction?
I don't know yet. It's not been.
How has it not been?
It's not being broadcast till next year, so I don't know.
That's going to be brew time when it's on.
Oh,
yeah. Give it a Fraser for a day.
Gets a DVD of the episode, so we'll be watching it then.
Cool.
Be a big viewing on there.
Yeah.
I'm keeping it quiet when, to be honest.
I've already told everyone.
You're having a party, aren't you? Yeah, or else.
See.
That's very cool. And World Championship Whistler.
The World Champion Whistler.
Yeah, it's something like that, I remember Darren saying.
Was he good?
Don't know.
Never heard him whistle.
Yeah.
Saved it for about a
piece. What's the point of that? What happened to him? Why is he not a member anymore?
I don't know, it's just 15 years ago, I don't know.
No, it's probably buried somewhere.
The Green Room Golf Course podcast is produced by myself, Carl Hansel, on behalf of the British and International Golf Greenkeepers Association. For questions, comments and concerns, you can get in touch with me by emailing carl@bigger.co.uk. That's Carl with a K. You can also join the conversation on social media using @greenroombigger. And we've also got a Facebook page where all the latest notices, news releases and information from Bigger can be found. We're also on Instagram using @bigger_HQ. subscribe and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. The more people know about the sports turf industry, the more understanding they will have about the hard work of bigger members and other greenkeepers. If you'd like to get in contact about any other aspect of your bigger membership, including member benefits, support or learning and development, call 01347 833 800 or email info@bigger.co.uk. You can also get more information about Bigger and how it can improve your career and your course by heading to www.bigger.org.uk.